Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 521, Cartographer's Bundle, recorded live on November 17th, 2015. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, The Storm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And I'm Godzilla T.
And we are back. This is going to be our last podcast of the year. We're here wrapping up with The Cartographer's Gift, which actually just dropped this week, which is awesome. I think probably the most anticipated content update for Halo 5. And I have to say, from the little bit I've been able to play of it so far, I think it delivers. I've seen very good responses across all kinds of social media, and everyone is having a great time with it. Battle of Noctis is a fun, fresh, new take on Warzone. I haven't had the chance to try Overgrowth yet, personally, or the arena maps, but Forge, everyone is completely taken away by it. Granted, there's some learning curves to it, but it seems like everyone is very happy with Forge as it stands right now. And lots of UI tweaks, which are very welcome. And the community has been kind of clamoring at some of these UI tweaks. So lots of things to discuss tonight. And we're not going to be talking about a multiplayer map or campaign. We're going to be actually doing a little bit of a shorter show today since we are kind of wrapping stuff up. And this is a little late for us. I was out at a birthday party earlier tonight, so we got started a little bit late. So we're going to be just kind of going through the news, and then a little controversy rose up today. So
just a little.
We're going to touch on that. I was hoping to possibly have someone else on to have a balanced discussion, but maybe after the break, after some of the dust has settled, we could revisit the topic. You guys are probably very familiar with the whole wreck controversy type of stuff, so. It revolves around that, but we'll get to that in a little bit. So let's talk Cartographer's Gift. Lots of cool stuff. I think the biggest thing that people were really looking forward to was Forge and File Share, arguably.
Yeah, too bad they didn't implement a file browser. I mean, you know, I know small steps are fine, and don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining, but I was really hoping for some type of browser.
I think we're going to get one. I think this is just something that they gave us just so we have it to start us off with. I think we're going to get there, especially after the high demand that we've wanted. Even with Halo 4, there wasn't really one there at all. So I think this was just something that they threw at us just to have so we can exchange maps back and forth as a basic file share. And then we'll probably get the browser later on.
Well, see, the reason I say that is because this is the reason that the map sharing in the Master Chief Collection just didn't happen, because they're using the same system, where you have to add the person as a friend. And then now, granted, you can do it. They don't have to be online for you to access their file share, which is a vast improvement. But the fact that you have to add them as put them in your friends list, and then browse their file share to get the maps. I just don't like that. I really did like the ability to, do a YouTube video on a map and then link, to the website, to the map download and the game type download. That system worked very well. And it didn't it was just something really quick that you could do. You didn't have to be at your console to do it. Because, granted, most of the time I was browsing for map and game types, I was at work. But we won't discuss that right at the moment. Anyway, but it just made it a lot more convenient, because then I could come home and the maps were there. And I could fire the game up and test them. And I could spend more time looking at the maps and testing them, especially after I took over the duties for the game nights, to try to determine if there's something that I want to try in the game night, or if it's something that just totally broken right out of the get go.
Right. There's a couple things I really do hope they bring into Halo 5's file browser, when or if we get it. But the thing I kind of missed the most was the interaction we got with the developers from Halo 3. So, like, the top picks of, the like, Bungie favorites. Yeah. Like, yeah. I missed that. Like, I missed that a lot. Like, that was one thing that I was really proud of when they did it. Like, when I started getting involved with screenshots and stuff, one of my pictures actually went up there. And it was really cool to see, you know, everything that you worked hard on actually on the game itself. So when you go through it, I mean, you can go on the website and stuff, but not everyone goes on there. So it was cool to see people go on the game and do stuff. So 343 does listen, bring that back. Like, I want to see that stuff back. Maybe like picks of the month or something.
The thing that made that work though, is you have the content in game, and it's one thing to have it on Waypoint. And for people that go to the website, which is not, I would wager that people that actually go to Halo Waypoint are probably the people that are most interested, just from the standpoint of Halo is probably one of their primary games that they play. But the casual gamer is not going to go to Halo Waypoint religiously to see what the community update is or see what the cannon fodder is for the week, all that kind of stuff. They're just going to be playing the game amongst a bunch of other games that they have playing, especially for coming up upon the Christmas season. And one of the things with Halo 3 that the Bungie favorites really did was it did kind of help build out the community and bring up the community in certain aspects to foster different areas to grow. I think that's one of the reasons why you had this big boom of communities when Halo 3 came out, is because the developer did so much to focus on community. You had your Forge maps and game modes and screenshots and video clips, and that covers a wide range of the communities that you see out there today. I mean, you have Forge Hub, you have Duquesne, you have Green Skulls Green Machines, you have Griffball. Did I say Griffball already? Anyways.
No.
But all of those are benefiting from those Bungie favorites. So that kind of helped foster a little bit of that community growth. And I think to see that in game is really going to enforce, hey, this is some of the cool stuff that the community is doing and you can do it too, kind of thing. So it really provides more insight into not just the content that's going on in the game from what 343 is putting out there, but what other people are doing with the content and the experience. So I think if they bring something back, like a Bungie favorites type thing for Halo, I think that'd be a great benefit to the game. And to add to the whole thing about being able to download files or queue up files on Waypoint, I think the fact that you can open up rec packs on Halo Waypoint, I would hope that's kind of an already an in to maybe a file browser on Halo Waypoint that you can go and queue files. I mean, I don't know how closely, I mean, I'm assuming those two systems are probably vastly different, but if you can purchase it on, or like redeem your rec points on Halo Waypoint, and then they show up in game because the game synchronizes before it starts, and then you could queue up just files, and it doesn't necessarily have to be where they download automatically in the background, or maybe they could, but then when like you get in the game, you just have a queue that it pulls down from the server whenever it does its automatic update, and it's like, hey, I have these files ready, and it starts downloading them.
Well, they say the Halo 5 is going to be different from the first, like next year, like when the anniversary of Halo 5 from last year or this year, it's going to be a different game. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of implementations that they put in from different things, and especially if the community speaks up enough and they do want certain things, I'm sure it'll be implemented.
Well, now with the, you know, even I would like to see something on the web as far as a file browser, for the simple fact of these people, these forgers out there that are going to be creating this content, and they want to show it off, it gives people an easy way to say, hey, I want to play that map. And they can click on a link and download it or queue it up for download. But even at that, I was kind of hoping there would be at least an in-game browser.
I think like Bio said, I think it's coming.
Yeah. Well, I meant with the, you know, the launch of Forge and FileShare, I was really hoping there would be at least a simple browser in the game.
The way that Bravo stated it in the update, he said it made it seem like there is a more advanced FileShare functionality or something coming down the line, where they just wanted to get this out there because it's something that they can do. I mean, they already did it with the Master Chief Collection, or tried to. So it's something that they can easily implement.
Yeah, I just don't want them to take too long.
Yeah, especially with the state of the community is with Halo 5.
Yeah, take too long. And the harder it is to download these maps, or the more steps you have to go through to download these maps, the less likely people are to do it. And the whole add a person as a friend and then be able to view their file share, not the best of systems. But hopefully here in the next 30 days, we will get a full-on browser. Maybe that'll be part of our January update.
That game types are coming. I'm surprised there were no game types with this update, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm a little shocked about that.
Yeah, that kind of cuts the head off of any mini games getting developed over Christmas.
But it's definitely a step in the right direction, I think. It's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people are very happy with it. A lot of people are really excited to see that there are things coming down the pipeline that the community is really chatting about and they're fixing. So that's really awesome.
Well, it's not only that. It's that we're seeing Forge just kind of come back out of the woodwork with things, too. There's a lot of stuff that's being posted on Forge websites. Like, you know, you have Forge Channel, which is Duquesne's site. You have, I can't even remember. Like, I was just seeing pictures of people's Forge creations popping up on Twitter today. I'm like, we're seeing this again. Like, it was good mm-hmm. to see people that we haven't seen in a long time take a crack at, you know, what we got with this Forge. And it's good to see that they're making stuff again. And Pete, I really hope Pete the Duck comes back, because we didn't really see too much from him Halo 2 anniversary wise. Halo 4 is where he kind of was, and he made a lot of cool stuff in Halo 4. You know, a lot of stuff that I played in custom games a lot. So it'd be cool to see him come back with this new Forge and build some more incredible things.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a lot of people are coming out of the woodwork. It's like, oh, we actually have kind of our Halo back? That's kind of cool. There's still a lot of room for improvement. Well, yeah. There's still a lot more stuff that needs to come back. But well, let's put it's this going way. In the right direction.
Most of the people I subscribe to on YouTube are people that feature Forge creations, whether it be maps or just aesthetics, stuff like that. And all of a sudden, all these people in the last day have become active on YouTube again. They're putting out video content about Forge.
Yep.
So it's looking really good. 343 just needs to nurture that and keep feeding that, and it will help the game overall. It's not a one-size-fits-all fix, but it will definitely help the game.
It was a conversation that I was brought up between a couple of close friends of mine. We're texting back and forth in the chat. We're like, if this would have came out, if Forge would have been out with Halo 5 on launch day, do you think it would have been a drastic improvement and would have brought more people back? I said, as what we're seeing now, I would have said yes. But as it stands, I think we're going to see more of a community come together, if that makes any sense. Like, more people are kind of interacting with people that they haven't really seen. I mean, when Destiny came out, that kind of took a lot of people off the Halo train, so to speak. Like, they kind of left and kind of was experiencing what Bungie put out. And now that we got, you know, custom games coming back in not exactly yet, but we're going to be getting it. It's going to be interesting to see who comes in and starts up things again. It's good to see old faces actually starting to talk about Halo again now, without a doubt.
Yeah.
No, and they need to put back in the random weapon category.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll see some more stuff come down the pipeline for the January update. I'm hoping game types, hoping some new features with the file share and file, or maybe update file browser, what have you, all that good stuff. But we do have the two new maps. We have Battle of Noctis, which I've played once, and I haven't played Overgrowth yet. So have you guys had a chance to play on either of those?
I've played on both of them.
I've only played on Overgrowth.
So what do you guys think of Overgrowth?
Overgrowth is pretty good. I actually played it in a free-for-all match, which was interesting enough. I like it. I like where the weapon placement is on it. I felt that it was a little too narrow. There's too many hallways. There isn't kind of like a central area. Everybody kind of stays out of the central area. That's just my personal experience. It was just free-for-all too, so they could be totally different when it comes to Slayer or Team Slayer. But I like the way it looks. Exactly, it looks beautiful. It kind of gave me a ghost town vibe, if that makes any sense, from Halo 3. It was kind of, it was really cool. It was also my very first game in Halo 5. I won first place, so it was pretty good. I haven't played the Warzone map yet, so I'll probably end up popping on Halo tonight and start playing with to see how it looks.
Yeah, I'll probably do that because Reach isn't available yet.
Hopefully, they get Xbox Live fixed. It's having a few issues tonight. But on Overgrowth, I've only played one match on it, and it was in SWAT, so I can't really speak to the weapon placement part. But yes, it is a very tight map. And as far as team play, I would describe it the same way.
Similar to Plaza? How similar to Plaza is it?
It's pretty close to Plaza in gameplay, but the map, the sight lines are a lot cleaner. I mean, you still have stuff in the way, but you don't have a tree right in the middle of the hallway or something like that. The flow of the map does seem to kind of gravitate around the perimeter. There's not too many people that cut through the middle. Granted, it's not a huge map.
No.
You could get across this map relatively quickly, and you could move through the middle without being noticed if you happen to move through at the right moment. So, you know, there could be people moving through the middle that I just didn't see. But it did seem like most of the battling or most of the fights happened in the outer hallways. It is going to be a shotgun frenzy on that map. There are so many places you can hide you come around a corner. You don't even really have to hide. All you got to do is walk around corners and watch your radar, and you can surprise people. It's that tight of space. Aesthetically on the map, they did a really good job. It looks like a good high quality map.
Nice.
I still need to play it in, you know, like regular team settings to see how it plays. But I played a game of SWAT and I lost, but I had a lot of fun on it. There was a lot of corners I got surprised. But
what's kind of the big layout change? Or was there any kind of big layout change?
Oh, as far as layout, it's nothing like any other map. But the aesthetics remind you.
Is that different from Plaza?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Plaza has a lot of straight hallways. And it's a relatively large map, and you have some relatively large open areas. Overgrowth could probably just about fit in the center of Plaza.
Whoa.
I wouldn't say it's a lot smaller than Plaza. No, it's a lot smaller. I wouldn't say it would just be able to fit in the middle of Plaza.
Well, if you set it in, you know, into Plaza, you would have enough room on all sides of it to have probably, I would say, a one or one and a half Spartan wide walkway.
Yeah. It's very reminiscent of Plaza. I'll say that it reminds me of it a lot, especially like we were saying before, people like to stay on the outer lines of the map. No one really kind of goes in the middle, and anyone that does go in the middle, what I've seen, there's usually someone chilling there with either a shotgun or a sword waiting for someone to pounce on. Like, that's usually what I've seen. I can't really say too much about it. I've only played 5 games on it, so I don't really have – I only have, like, a rough feeling of what it is. But it's a very good map. I love the way it looks. Compared to the other maps that we have so far, I would definitely say it's an improvement to the map selection that we have.
That's good. So that's the first of, was it 18 maps we're supposed to get?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got a long way to catch up if they're going to try to shove in 16 more maps before the end of July. That's a lot.
Well, yeah. I wonder how many maps we're going to get in January. As far as the new Warzone map, it plays a lot different than any of the other Warzone maps.
I agree with that.
It tends to have that, you know, the focused fight kind of like in a straight line across the map, but it's a very open map for the most part. If you set up correctly with a sniper, you can cover quite a bit of one side of the map. And that's, you know, that's one thing of a lot of the other Warzone maps, don't do, with the exception of, I'm blanking on the name. The one with the garage, the circular garage.
Escape from Ark. Escape from ARC. Yes.
Yeah. That one, you know, if you get somebody posted on top of the garage with a sniper rifle, they can cover a lot of area. But the rest of them, it's a little hard to get a real wide field of view. There's a lot of stuff just blocking your way. But I've had a lot of fun. I've played like 6 games on it, and wow, I've enjoyed the map a lot. Yeah, it's actually been popping up pretty regular for me, and that's a big surprise. Usually new maps, it'll be a week before I see one.
I have to say, I was a little surprised on how much copy-paste that garage base was onto this map. I was expecting it to be a little more different than it was, other than just a straight-up copy-paste, but...
Oh, yeah, the two main...
It's a straight-up copy-paste. It's a straight-up copy-paste.
There is no unique anything about it. You know, the unique doesn't show up until you get outside the door.
Although the center area is quite interesting. Was it the sort of the M, the area that they call it?
Oh,
the monument. Is it monument?
Monument, yes.
And it plays very differently compared to a lot of like all the other Warzone maps, which I really like, because you have the two garages and you have the middle area, so it is very vehicle focused. There's a lot of vehicle action going on, but once you get outside, it seems like it's a more of a tug of war between the two garages. Whereas if you're on Escape from ARC, you still have people kind of spawning in kind of scattered spots around the map. And for the what's the snowy one, whatever it's called,
I'm blanking.
You're spawning at your most forward base. So it seems like there's a lot more of a tug of war in this map going on, and a lot more, like you said, kind of more linear action going on in this map.
March on Stormbreak.
There you go. So it plays very differently, which I think is a good, fresh feeling for Warzone. So I've only played it once because I just did it for my daily rec yesterday. But From the game I played, it was actually a lot of fun. It was a nice new feeling. There are plenty of different ways to cross the map, which is really good. It gives a lot of options for people attacking, so you can either get up close with short range weapons if you're going straight through the middle because you're going through the monument area, or you have two kind of upper areas where you can snipe, and depending on which base you're spawning onto, you have that initial rush. But From what it seemed like, once you were outside, you rarely had people spawning at your home base because you had the garages that you controlled.
Yeah, I really like this map because it's a lot more vehicle friendly than most of the other maps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when you start dealing with the larger vehicles like tanks or wraiths, you don't have as many undulations in the ground that can throw off your aim and things like that. And running a ghost on this thing is just an absolute blast. You can get a ghost into Monument very easily. The bases, the garages are a lot easier to get into with vehicles. Not any safer, but they're easier to get the vehicle in there. And it's just, you know, I went my last game, I spawned a ghost ultra. I rode it around long enough to get enough wreck to get another ghost ultra before I was killed. And I was killed by a tank and a wraith. We'd talk about wrong place, wrong time.
No kidding. Ouch.
Yeah. I don't know who got credit for the kill, because I wasn't looking at the kill feed, but the fact that I could move around and I could live long enough to earn enough rec to get another one it really lends itself very well to vehicles. But there are enough tight spaces and places for infantry to stay out of the way of vehicles that it's also pretty infantry friendly as well. You know, if you're running across the map, there's ways to get across the map where you have to be cautious of the vehicles, but you don't have to cower from them.
Right. You're not just completely out of luck.
yeah, they don't have that real strong position on you that you can't get around them. And there's enough places and enough ways to move throughout the map that you can get the upper hand on vehicles pretty quickly if you play smart. You know, there's bridges and stuff where you can drop down on wraiths and, you know, in, shove the grenade in the back of the wraith, or the same on a scorpion.
Plenty of places to ground pound. Yep.
Yeah. Which there is in Monument, there is a beautiful place to ground pound. You just, you could, the center building is, it's a circle and it has, like, it has tiers and you have these long sweeping ramps that come up them. Well, on either side from the top level, you can ground pound from the top because they've got a little railing right there by the ramps. You can jump up there and you can ground pound either the ramp or you can ground pound right next to the ramp on the very ground floor. And you can catch so many people by surprise there if you just watch and wait. It's
nice.
I got two of them on a match I did today. It was very satisfying.
Sweet. That's awesome. Overall, I think it's a great map. I like the different pace of it. I like the different play style. I think it's a good, fresh addition for Warzone. And they said there were going to be at least three new Warzone maps, right? So this is one of three. So I'm definitely excited for this. Moving on to some other content that we got. We have the two big team maps, and I haven't played either one. I'm assuming you guys haven't either.
Not really, no. I played Antifreeze on Shoddy Snipes today in Social, which was interesting. Apart from that, I haven't played it on Big Team at all. The other one, I haven't played at all either.
Yeah, we'll probably come back to that one after we get back from the break, because I don't think we've really touched either one of those. But that's Antifreeze is the one that Duquesne made. And do we know who actually made Entombed? Was it Warholic or was it someone else?
I think it was Warholic, if I remember correctly.
Because that was the one person that we didn't hear who made a map. And it makes sense that if someone was making a map, then, well, hopefully everyone made a map. So that would, Entombed would be the only one left.
Yeah.
We'll probably come back to those in our next podcast, which will be after the new year. We do have some wrecks. I've unlocked a few wrecks. I don't have anything too super massive yet. I don't have any of the rocket launchers yet. I did pick up, I think, the number 3 emblem, and I think I got the nice try assassination.
Cool.
I think I got both of those, and then I unlocked one of the armor pieces in the bronze pack. So I'm back to bronze packs until I can max those out again.
Yeah.
I have Rex, time to start buying them with bronze again.
Mm-hmm. I haven't done any rec opening this week yet. I will be doing my rec opening tomorrow night on the stream.
Nice.
So if you want to see what I got, swing by.
Oh, again, that's 8:30 Friday.
The only thing I got out of this was not the assassination. I can't think of the name of it. It was the other one that you don't have. I can't remember the name. The one where you do like the crazy, like snap their arm and like snap.
It's called O-Snap.
That's what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
I got that one. And I got the number 1 emblem. That's the only things I've gotten so far. I've seen a lot of people with the new wet work helmet today, though. It was pretty cool. Or the Transformer looking helmet.
Nice. I think I'm probably going to be able to unlock all of those number 1s with bronze packs, would be my guess. And the classic BR stuff, I have a feeling that's going to be bronze pack material as well. Because most of the armor and emblems and the weapons variants are at least rare or greater. And I think there was only like a rare that I ever opened with the bronze pack.
I have, see, to get armor and helmets and stuff, I've had more luck with silver than I've had bronze.
Well, yeah, because the armor is, there's only 2 of them that are uncommon, and then it starts to go into rare, ultra rare, and legendary. So there's going to be, you do need to do silver to get most of the armor. But they're, like, a lot of the common stuff, anything that was common, you could get with the bronze pack. And then there were some of the uncommon things, and then I think very few of the rare things you could actually open with the bronze pack. But most of the uncommon and rare start to unlock when you go the silver route, and then the rare, ultra rare, and legendaries are the gold pack tier.
I'm honestly just going for certifications at this point.
Yeah, me too. Try to get all that stuff done. Which, I don't know if we talked about this during one of our other big discussions, but that was one of the things that we talked about in chat was it would have been nice if there was a card in the rec system where you could request a certain piece. So like you would get a card that says, okay, you can unlock an uncommon emblem, and then you can go choose which emblem you want to unlock. That would have been a really cool implementation of the rec system. Like you could either get a, I would personally just replace the whole thing of like unlocking the each piece individually and then having the ability for people to choose, because a lot of people are complaining about the fact that you're all up to RNG to actually get the armor that you want.
Well, that is the games, you know, that's the way they're doing them these days.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I can kind of get that from a perspective of trying to keep people playing the game, but it still kind of sucks for people that are, it's like, you got to grind or you got to pay.
Yeah. I would have preferred that the emblems and the armor were something, you had a system, something like Reach, where you didn't just immediately have access to the armor. You had to unlock it, and then you could mix and match what you wanted. Because there's no, I have not seen a armor suit that I like all of it. There's always one part of it I don't like, whether it be the legs, the arms, or the chest. And as far as the emblems, I really wish they hadn't changed the emblem system, period. Because now, thankfully, with this latest patch, they released the emblem I like to use, but it won't be the same emblem because I can't toggle it like I could in the other games.
Yeah, a lot of people are really upset about that.
You know, it would be really great to get the emblem, but I kind of wish they'd have left the armor and the emblems out of the rec system. I understand why they put them in there. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's there to generate income for HCS and the map packs. But I still would have preferred those items to be earned. And then, you know, your special weapons and stuff to be randomized in the rec system.
Yeah. Anyways, well, that'll probably be another discussion for another day. But we have the two assassinations, which we just kind of briefly touched on. The nice try and the oh snap. The nice try looks really disturbing. So you basically pick someone up by their leg, you put their head down, then you smash their head.
I was waiting to see it squirt.
Yeah.
It's rated teen. They wouldn't be able to do that.
I know. Well, they never really did that in any other games. All you would see is just kind of a red spot on the ground. No real splatter.
Yeah, but there'd still be like blood effects.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks disturbing. So, there's a lot of these assassinations that are just disturbing.
Mm-hmm. Like the one I'm using now, I can't think of the name of it, but you basically pull the guy back by his head, bending over your knee, almost like you're snapping his back, and you shove the knife in his chest.
Yeah, that one was sick. That one's awesome.
I'm like, every time I do that, it kind of gives me the shivers.
My favorite is the one that I actually picked up yesterday, is that you fling him over your back and stab him in his head with your knife. I didn't really know that's what it was at first, and I did it. And I'm like, that was brutal. I was like, that's horrible. But drastic improvements to the assassinations compared to the other games, in my opinion.
Yeah, lots of good variety to it. That's for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I like that you can turn them off, because there's times where I don't want to jack around with assassinations, you know, because I'm not looking to do assassinations for commendations or anything, and I want to hit them over the head.
There's always those like very rare moments though where it's like you just feel this, you would feel the like just the satisfaction of doing an assassination on somebody.
Oh yeah, don't get me wrong, and there, you know, there's most of the time I'll run with assassinations on, but you know, there's sometimes where I don't want to mess around, I just want them dead.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the assassination, you know, the assassination probably does more to get me killed than anything.
Fair enough.
See, now I've ran into several problems, though, where I was in mid assassination and it just stopped and the guy was still alive. I don't know if you guys ran into that. I don't know if it's lag. I don't know if it's just, I don't know what it is, but like, I'm not getting shot. I'm not getting, you know, hit or killed or anything like that. I'm literally in mid assassination. Like, I'm about to kill him and then it just stops. And then I get killed because he goes against me and shoots me with whatever he has in his hand at the time. That's one thing that is starting to drive me nuts, and I'm seeing more of it this time than I have in any other games. Like, I've seen it once or twice in Halo 4, but this time around, I've seen it a lot.
I haven't run into anything like that yet. The only thing I've had, and I mean, it's perfectly explainable, is just when someone else kills him, and then it's like, well, I stopped mid-animation, but he's still dead, yeah. So I've had yoinks, but I've never had it to where I'm in the middle of assassination, and then it stops, and then they come around and turn the tables against you. I've never had that happen before.
Yeah, like, I have several of it, or several
times. You're on Bionet, so...
Well, yeah, no, this is in several instances where I'm at my friend's house where they have incredible internet. It's not just me, and they ran into the same situation, so I don't know. Like, I purposefully seen if it was just my internet or if it was just... Like, it was just a hiccup, and it just seems to be a glitch or something that I'm running into constantly.
Bio, so have you been driving on the side of your Warthog too much?
No, not lately.
Oh, okay.
What's that supposed to mean?
Don't tell me you have not seen the glitch reels.
No, I know what he's talking about.
Oh, okay. Yes, okay. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, all right.
Which I have to admit, those seem to be showing up a lot more in Halo 5 than they have in previous.
Yeah. One of the cooler glitches I seen was I was doing a ground pound, and instead of killing the guy with the ground pound, it went to an assassination. So, like, it did the whole ground pound animation, and then it went into an assassination animation. I was like, that's not what I was going for, but all right, it works.
It was effective.
Yeah.
That almost sounds effective. Like the Reach achievement. They came to hear me beg achievement.
Yeah. I don't know what that was about, but, like, one of my friends, he's like, how did you do that? I said, I have no idea. I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't even know that was a thing that could happen. I was like, I was literally just trying to sit there and ground pound them, and it went to an assassination. I'm like, that's interesting.
Strange things happen, I guess. Even on dedicated servers.
Yeah.
I thought they were supposed to fix all that weird stuff.
You know, you would think that would be one of the things that dedicated servers would help fix, but I guess there's quirks.
Apparently.
I guess. Maybe.
If there's any sort of glitch in the game, I'll find it. That's why I need to be like a game tester.
we know Bio.
Know all too well.
If you need something that is electronic and you want to test it for durability, send it to Bio. He'll break it.
Not purposefully either. Like, it'll just randomly break on its own. I've had that happen several times.
So a couple of new things that have been added as well, trying to get through the update here as quickly as possible. We have the Mark IV armor that everyone's been kind of really excited for, and I think they teased during the stream, which I actually still have not watched the stream at all, but they teased the Mark V for January, so that'll be cool to see. There's the new Spartan Company accommodations, so there are almost 50 accommodations that are going to be specific to your Spartan Company. You'll be able to track your Spartan Company stats on Waypoint, and there are special helmets and armor recs that you can unlock by doing certain company commendations as well. So that'll be something that we'll be working on as we spin up our Tactical Tuesdays and Wacky Wednesdays. So if you're part of the Spartan Company, then make sure you head on over to the Warboards, as we like to call them, which is the forums that we have for the company over on Halo Waypoint. We have a post up there kind of explaining some of the stuff that we're doing now that the update is here. And we'll be focusing a lot of that in the new year, because we know people are going to be going home for the holidays or spending time with family. So we're not going to be expecting people to hop on religiously for the next 2 weeks to play Halo. But once we get into the new year, we'll start to really pick up doing dedicated days for Arena and Warzone and actually making it serious. Of having people on to do it on the weekly basis. So That'll be something that we'll be looking into. I honestly have not looked at which accommodations are Spartan Company specific yet, but once we get back from the break, we'll obviously break those down. Social playlists are here, which is great. We have the social, what is it? It's not social arena, but there's Big Team Battle, which is social, but then there's another one that's social.
I've seen the holiday playlist.
Yeah, okay, yeah, so holiday playlist, yeah.
Holiday 2v2 is the weekend playlist, right?
I'm not sure about the weekend playlist, but there's a holiday playlist where it's team 5-on-5, and it's different objectives, so Slayer, Strongholds, all that fun stuff.
They brought back Arena Breakout, which is a lot of fun. If you guys played it last weekend, that's back too. So,
oh, I didn't really know that.
Happy to see it.
So yeah, that was something that happened last weekend, which was a lot of fun. We can talk about that real quick too.
Yeah, I fell in love with it. Like I find it more fun than regular Breakout. Regular Breakout seems a little too repetitive, and to me, you die a little too quick. But it, like, we had this conversation, I would say about 4 or 3 months ago. Me and Haas were going back and forth saying, I was saying it would have been a good idea, and he thinks it'd be a good idea, and I completely ate my words because I was going and playing it, and I fell in love with the game type. It's insane.
I personally enjoyed that. I played 8 games. I didn't play enough to qualify for a rank, but for the amount of games I did play, I really had a good time with it, at least after the first 2 games, because I was playing with South, and we got paired up with idiots.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I think we
had people grab the flag and take it back to our base. Then they died, and the other team scored the flag to win the round. And it happened more than once in the same game. I'm like, are you guys really that stupid?
I think the best moment that I had in that was probably when my entire team died and all of them were still alive. I grabbed the flag and I was sitting right behind them the entire time. They didn't see me and they all ran over to grab my flag and I scored. It was, or not grab my flag, but to grab the flag to find it. And I just scored on their time. That was game over. That was the game win.
That's nice.
I've actually pulled that stunt on, oh shoot, in the arena playlist we were playing on the capture the flag map. What the heck is it, the Forerunner one?
Coliseum.
Yes, Coliseum. I will figure these map names out eventually, but I would run out of the top of the base, drop down, grab the flag, clamber up, and come in through the bottom of the base. And the one time I did it, I come up to the base and all 4 of them are standing. Is that they were in blue base. They were standing on the rocket side of the base facing the ramp because that's where the rest of my team was. And I basically came up behind them and scored the flag.
Nice. Should have recorded that for the top 5 whenever we get that going, which hopefully won't be too long. Hopefully
I should have.
I guess you didn't. Did you at least bookmark the film?
I'll have to see if I probably didn't. I don't remember doing it. Most of the time when I'm playing, the only thing I'm thinking about is playing.
Gotcha. So we have those 2 social playlists right now. I don't think we've heard anything yet of what they're doing for this weekend's playlist. At least I haven't seen anything from Twitter or whatnot. So I think it's just the holiday playlist. They added it whenever the update dropped. So that's going to be the playlist going through to the end, I believe. We have the first seasons. The first season is here. So for everyone that had gotten a placement in the arena playlist, then you realize that your ranks have reset. So the preseason is done and the first season has officially started. And if you finish all your placement matches in the playlist, then you'll unlock a one-time season 1 rec pack, which comes with an emblem and maybe a couple other things, but you'll get that at the end of the season. So that's going to be, I think it's just you have to place in just one playlist to get that. I don't think it's tied to a specific playlist, or they haven't really indicated that the season rec pack is tied to a specific playlist. But if it is, we'll try to figure that out and let you guys know about that. Additional content stuff that we have. Anyone notice an update to the whole kind of like rec menu, the requisitions menu?
Mm-hmm.
Some really nice changes.
When it was working.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I was sitting here and I was talking with Pens earlier, and I'm sitting here and I wanted to look at the rec screen, and it's like it knew. It didn't want to load.
Well, when it does load, there are some really nice additions to it. So whenever you actually open a rec pack now, you get to see what rec level is required for it. Whenever you go into a playlist and you start a game, it tells you how many rec points you have. And I think there's a couple other things that
got. It also tells you how many unopened packs you have, as well as rec points.
Yep.
And the part where you can look in your inventory, look at an item, and see what is required to call that in, and what class it is, as far as you uncommon, common, rare, ultra rare, legendary. That was such a frustrating part, because you never had a reference point of what you could call in when. And in just the short time that they've done that, because I went and looked on the website, I haven't looked in game yet, but to be able to easily tell what I can pull when is really helpful. It's like I found out that I can pull a needler at rec level 3. And I tell you what, a needler will tear some people up.
Needlers are nice.
But, oh man.
Oh yeah.
I pulled a needler and went on a pretty quick spree. I got 3 double kills before a guy with a sword killed me.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Let me just whip this out.
Yeah. The needler is powerful.
Uh-huh.
In Warzone.
And for a rec level 3, it will destroy.
Something that I found interesting about the needler this time around, I found it requires less needles to explode in Halo 5. I don't know, compared to other games, I don't know if that's just me like thinking it differently, but it seems different this time around.
No, that super combine shows up a lot faster.
Okay.
Because with one pull of the trigger, well, I should say one clip, I got one double kill.
Sounds about right.
And that in previous versions, I could get double kills with one clip, but I had to focus on one opponent and then switch to the next. This one, it kind of dispersed between both of them.
Yeah, you can kind of go at them with both. Yeah, that's I find it really an underestimated or underappreciated weapon in Halo 5, to be honest. I see people run by it all the time and they don't ever pay attention to it. I'm like, what are you doing? This is a very overpowered weapon, in my opinion. You should have picked it up. Like, come on.
Yeah, it reminds me of dual wielding in Halo 2.
Yeah.
Especially when you got the harmonics right on the trigger pulls and got that fast fire.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we got some nice UI updates. That's not the only thing that we got for Rex, but there are some other little UI updates, which is really nice to have in there. Bio, there's something new in there that you were really excited about, or at least stating so on Twitter. You want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, so we are able to adjust our look acceleration. So basically, when you're hitting all the way left or all the way right on the right thumbstick, it gets faster. You can adjust that now, which I had a huge problem with. And that's the reason why I always played on a lower sensitivity on Halo 5. I just never was able to understand what my problem was. It just felt way fast for me. So now we can go back in there and adjust it. And personally, I'm getting a lot more kills and I'm a lot more accurate this time. And I'm very satisfied with it. Like, I didn't know that was a thing. And then I pulled down my screen real quick. I'm like, looks accelerate. I said, that's what's causing me to have such problems. So I put it all the way down. I play on 1 and I play on a sensitivity of 4. And that seems to be the sweet spot right now. So I was very happy with that.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm still playing with that on mine, but the dead spot controls are a welcome sight. I have, thankfully, my Master Chief controller is really accurate, so it doesn't have any drift, at least as of yet. I'm sure here in the next month or 3, it probably will, with the rate that I bang on it. But I've noticed, because I did what they suggested on the stream, which is to set those to 0 and then adjust up from there. and I've set them to zero, and I've noticed that my Spartan is a lot more reactive because I don't have that dead spot in the middle of the controls. It took me a little bit to adjust to it, but like I'm really liking that control as well.
I haven't touched it yet, and I don't know if with the update they changed a few things, because the last two nights I've played, my aim has been ridiculously off ever since.
There are several of the settings in like audio and video that got reset to default, at least on my Xbox. And I think I had to change one of my regular settings. Like I had to mess with toggle crouch or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but so you might go through your settings and just make sure everything's where it's supposed to be.
Okay. Yeah. I might just need to look into that because I mean, it was a while since I played, so I kind of tossed it up to, I'm just playing really crappy. So I have to play a couple more times and see if it's something where, okay, I do need to start messing around with that kind of stuff. Hey, it looks like Eric Ibu unlocked the Spanker. Awesome.
Nice.
Yay.
Some other things that got updated, bugs with joining in progress, campaign bugs, multiplayer bugs, all that kind of stuff. All that nice stuff. Some friend roster stuff has been fixed. So any kind of glitches there, you should kind of see that reduced. There's new machinima options for custom games. So if you are working on machinima and you want to go into a custom game with some theater options, you can actually, there's a new machinima section. So if you go and customize the game type that you're in, at the very bottom there's machinima. And if you enable that, all the controls that you can do within custom games are you hold X and then there are D-pad options. So one of them is to lower your weapon. One of them is you actually pop out to a fly cam while you're in the custom game, which is really cool. And then there's
and you can still control your Spartan.
You can.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't look at it too much.
You can control your Spartan and you can control your camera. So you can set your camera and then you can make your Spartan walk by it or walk away from it.
Gotcha.
Or you can still interact with your Spartan character while you're in the free cam, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Because you can get a lot more of these cinematic shots that people have been doing, but they've just been they're a really pain in the butt.
So lots of cool things with that. And that's just the beginning. There's probably going to be a lot more stuff that comes with this too. So I'm really excited for that. Lots of cool stuff with Forge, obviously. And we're actually going to have Duquesne and some of the other cartographers that went to 343 on to talk about Forge after we come back from the holidays. So we're going to focus on Forge a lot more then. So we're going to save a lot of that discussion. But Forge being there, obviously, lots of cool things to really mess around with. You have the light emitters, sound emitters, the ability to group objects, move objects as a unit, be able to rotate objects as a unit or as individually, placed objects, duplicate, all that stuff is awesome to have with Forge. This is probably the most powerful Forge yet that we've seen. And I'm excited to get digging into it after the new year, which will probably be the first time I actually have the chance to really use Forge. But it seems like there's a lot of discussion out there, especially from the people that did go to 343 and other forges that have actually started to work with it now. But you have to basically relearn how to use Forge. And I think you're kind of alluding that to that earlier bio.
Yeah, no, it's definitely different compared to the other forges, especially when you're used to using the bumpers to go up and down and to delete stuff. Like you have a bit of a learning curve to understand how this works. Especially like me and Duquesne were goofing off, just testing new things with lighting effects and smoke and all those different things. And like, I felt like a 5-year-old, like I was just going into it and not having an idea of what to do. And it was a good thing he was around to show me how to do things, because it's just completely different compared to the other forges that we've had in previous Halos.
I'm looking forward to playing with the green screens.
Isn't there a blue screen in there too or something? Like there's not.
Well, you can see any color you want it to be.
Nice.
You can change the color of the green screen. It's just I've got a couple ideas. I just need to find the right background video for what I want to do.
I see.
But I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Nice.
It's an intro idea I've had for a while, but I haven't really had the capabilities to pull it off. So,
okay.
If I can find the right footage.
The one thing that is nice about this Forge this time around, it's very easy. Like, it's not easy in the sense of how to use it, but in the sense of you're able to do more things without more complicated ways of doing it. So one thing that I found that was extremely useful is that you can lock onto the object that you're on, and you can zoom around and go up and down, left or right, or you can leave that object, and then as soon as you hit the right or the left bumper, it'll move to where you want it to go. So you can look at it from different angles and place it in where you want to go. So it feels more of a level editor than a Forge this time around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like how the reticle is not the attaching point for the objects anymore. You can move around the object in any direction you want without disturbing the object. That's a lot of forgers got around that problem by forging with two controllers.
Yeah.
You know, seeing you can't do that in Halo 5.
Yeah.
But what they'll do, what they would do is they'd use one controller as a camera, and then they'd use the other controller to actually move the object. That's how they would line things up. Well, now you can nudge the piece, but you can move the camera wherever you want and still nudge the piece.
Yep.
So I think after people start to kind of get used to it, I think it's going to make it a lot more friendly and a lot easier for these people to create new content with them.
And as far as I know, there's going to be some more features added for Forge. And obviously we'll get new game modes. We'll get new Forge pieces. It seems like they're kind of hinting at like the ability to add new stuff in there. And all that stuff is great for customs, great for machinima, all that fun stuff. So that pretty much covers the update, I think. I think I touched on pretty much everything. Another thing that came out today, which everyone is vastly excited about, is Halo Reach backwards compatibility is finally on Xbox One. So right now, the content services for Xbox One are all haywire, so you might not be able to download it right now, but whenever they get that back up and running, you can download Halo Reach if you have it. If you've paid for it, the digital version, you'll be able to find it under your ready-to-install games. If you have the disc version, you can stick that in and it'll download the game for you, and then you just have to have the disc inserted whenever you want to play the game. And one game mode that I've been particularly hyped for, if you haven't been paying attention to Twitter all day, and we've been talking about it in chat, which we were hoping to do after the show, but since I can't install Reach, we might not be doing that. But Speed, one of my favorite game modes.
Speed
Halo.
Of course, it's a lot more fun when you get a full lobby. But
oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Definitely. No doubt about it. If you have somewhere like 13 to 16 people, a full party, it is insanity, and it is so much fun.
Yeah, that's one game type where the more people, the better.
Yes.
Oh, without a doubt. I'm really hoping to see it back in Halo 5, especially the fact that there's movable objects that move on their own now, which is nice. So there'll be little obstacles that you have to kind of go around, which in Speed, you can't really go around obstacles. You kind of just go. You
generally just fly over them.
Or you run them over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's one thing I've been thinking about playing with this weekend is see if it's possible to build in there. I am by no means a forger. I just wanted to see if it was possible.
I hope the physics work out for Speed in Halo 5 because it was tried in Halo 4 and Halo 2 Anniversary. And as far as I know, at least for Halo 4, the physics of it did not work out that well. And then in Halo 2 Anniversary, there was a version I played that it just didn't work well at all. So I'm hoping that the physics are tuned in such a way to where that's actually possible to do with Halo 5 Guardians Forge.
Well, from what I've driven on Warthog or vehicles in general so far, it looks very promising.
Well, the thing I'm worried about is, at least playing a bunch of Warzone, the vehicles have a very, very large tendency to self-correct and put themselves upwards.
I've noticed that, yeah.
It's very, especially with the mongoose, it's like it's very, very hard to flip a mongoose and have it stay flipped.
Yeah, I understand, but they also on that same side, the vehicles also seem to want to turn over a lot easier as well. I mean, you run in the ghosts like in Warzone, it's almost like playing Halo 2 Vista. It's just the ghosts are really unstable in certain situations. I've come around corners and, you know, run over a pebble, and next thing you know, I've been kicked out of the ghost. Or I clip a rock and the ghost goes tumbling and spits me out. I have seen the auto-correct feature that you're talking about, and that could be part of my problem because I'm fighting the autocorrect. So I've seen signs that it looks like it could be possible.
You know what's funny is just after I said that Xbox Live is having content issues, they just put out a tweet that said it's now fixed. And I just restarted my console and I'm installing Halo Reach now.
Nice. Sadly, it'll take me 6 years to download it, so I probably won't be playing it tonight.
Come on, Bio.
Hopefully at a friend's house.
I have the disc.
Take your Xbox over to a friend's house.
I have the disc.
You still have to download it. You can't install it from the disc.
Oh, well. Well, yeah. Crap. Just.
Look who just popped online, Godzilla T.
What? Oh, I must have bumped my controller.
So we did a poll again this week, and I went ahead and asked what everyone's favorite weekend playlist that has been out so far. And we actually got some pretty interesting results. There's some pretty close ties in here, which I'm actually kind of happy to see one of our polls actually turn out that way. But we put down, because there was actually five playlists, so we actually just chose four of them. We chose Shoddy Snipers, Doubles, Rumble Rockets, and Arena Breakout. And from all the votes that we got, Team Doubles won with 30% of the votes, closely followed by Arena Breakout with 28%. Shoddy Snipers 23 and Rumble Rockets 18. So overall, it seems like the community's been pretty happy with the weekend bonus XP playlist so far.
Sounds that way.
Which is awesome. That's really great to see that there's a good diversity of people actually liking everything.
Makes me wonder what the next one's going to be. Well, picked anyway.
Well, we could probably do that monthly, I guess, maybe. But it's Team Doubles, I know, was a big attraction for a lot of people. Haas would definitely vouch for Team Doubles as his. I really liked Arena Breakout. I think that having that one like just behind Doubles kind of proves that it's a good change. And I would like to see that kind of make a permanent change within the current playlist on there.
It's my favorite so far for the weekend playlist. I don't think I've played more than Arena Breakout. I really enjoyed that game type. I didn't play anything all that weekend besides that.
Nice. So we had that poll. For those that are also following us, at least on Twitter and our blog, we started doing community content stuff. So we're doing a screenshot caption of the week. We're going to be doing a featured Forge map and game mode of the week. Once we start to see more of that content flow out, we do a machinima of the week. So we've had two different machinimas out there, and there's actually some pretty decent Halo 5 machinimas out there. Even though we didn't have Forge yet, we just got that this week. There are actually some pretty good pieces out there, and it's really hopeful in a way. So we're doing also a top five, or it might be something where we do a monthly top 10, depending on how quickly we could possibly get that out. But we're going to try to see what we can do with that after the holiday break. So we did get quite a few good replies on the first screenshot that we did. So thank you for everyone that sent those in. Thanks to Receptor for letting us use his screenshot. And definitely recommend you guys go check it out either on our blog or through Twitter. Some pretty good responses to that. So that is it for all the news, I think. Did I miss anything else that came out within the last week?
We got the January update, like a sneak peek at that.
Yeah, so I haven't really seen, I haven't looked at all for the through the stream, so I don't know what the January sneak peek other than the Mark V armor is. So
I think it's about all we got, wasn't it? Just a sneak peek at the armor?
No, we also got some new skins, and one of which I'm extremely happy about because I made a tweet asking for it, and it's going to be in the game now. There's a wolf howling at the moon skin for the pistol.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the skins, yeah.
So I was very happy. Haas actually tweeted that at me, and I flipped when I seen it. So
Did you literally flip?
That's awesome.
That would be.
No.
Just to see, we're also getting. I was just like looking at his phone, and then all of a sudden you just see him flip like backwards or something. It's like, what? Throw that on YouTube.
We're also getting an eagle skin for the assault rifle. So we got that.
Cool, cool. So skins and Mark V armor, pretty much.
So far.
Gotcha. Cool. So it is kind of getting a little late, but there is something a little controversial that I want to at least touch on real quick. And just to kind of preface this, it is something about Rec, and there are a bunch of different opinions on Rec out there. So this is just our opinion on what Rec is. And I really kind of want to reserve saying too much until we can kind of get a good balanced discussion going on this, because there are definitely pros and cons on both sides of the issue, I guess is the most appropriate way to put it, of how the Rec system impacts Halo 5 Guardians. There were two camps when Halo 5 first came out of the Rec system. Those that found it as a good step to raise funds for Halo 5 so that we could get free DLC and fund the Halo Championship Series, which has done a very good job of so far. I mean, the prize pool for the World Championships is currently at $2 million. That's not even including the money that went towards the limited edition HCS pack. So we don't even know what the total is on that yet. So it's definitely made lots of progress for the HCS and for paying for the free DLC, which was kind of the plan from the get-go. But there's this other side, and I was kind of on that side. And then there's another side to it where people really saw this as kind of a pay-to-win thing for Warzone. And the whole fact that you were left up to an RMG system to unlock armor and emblems and skins, where in past Halo games it's always been you complete a certain objective, or say you complete your campaign on Legendary, or for Reach you had a credit system to where once you got to a certain rank or once you finished a certain commendation, you gained access to it, and then you spent credits on specific armor pieces you wanted. And a lot of people have an issue with leaving it up to a random number generator to actually get the pieces that you want. So there's that side of the camp, and it's been something that's been discussed for a while. And today there was a change to the Rec store. So if you go on to Halo 5 Guardians now and you look at the Rec store, you won't see just bronze, silver, or gold, but you'll also see new gold bundles, which once you get into the higher tiers, it includes free Rec packs for people that buy in bulk. So kind of taking the whole mentality of you buy in bulk, you get more value for what you're paying for. And the thing that a lot of people were kind of taking to was that you're getting free Rec packs for buying Rec packs, and you can't spend Rec points on these bundles. You have to spend actual money. And from the get-go, there's been a concern within the community that the Rec system is kind of implementing a pay-to-win type of structure. Although Warzone is pretty balanced, even with Rec cards being put into consideration in Warzone, there's still some kind of element to where if you have certain certifications that you've unlocked through the rec system, that you do have an advantage over another team that might not have those certifications. And that is kind of left up to RNG, and people could kind of grind to go ahead and unlock those through just playing the game, or you could buy it. So there's always the resemblance there of a kind of pay to win structure. And I mean, it's only limited to Warzone, which is good. It doesn't affect any of the traditional Halo 5 gameplay, but there does seem to be a concern that with Warzone being what I think is a great addition from a game type perspective to Halo, that you do have people that if they want to spend a bucket load of money, they can get a strategic advantage over another team. So like, consider that you have this, you're similarly skilledly matched. If one team has just gone through trying to unlock Rex normally versus another team that may have spent money to unlock 30, 50 rec packs or something, the team that's bought rec packs has a significantly higher chance of getting certifications or getting recs that provide a better advantage in Warzone. So debates kind of broke out today on social media when this bundle stuff came up, that it's going down the path that a lot of people are unhappy with, going down microtransactions, which is a very controversial topic in video games right now. And I don't want to stand on a soapbox here, so if you guys want to chime in, feel free to.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't agree. I personally didn't like the rec system implemented in Halo from the get-go. I mean, yeah, it was a cool addition, especially, you know, raising money for HCS and, you know, getting free content. I understood it. The reason why I was with the idea of it was the fact that you can earn points to get those recs. It's not only a money thing. Like, you didn't have to sit there and just pay for requisition rec packs. You can actually just sit there and earn them too. That's the reason why I was all right with it. But I've had multiple discussions with different people, and they're saying that I may be overreacting with it. But like, if they're going down a route of if you pay this amount, you'll get free rec packs, and you're not allowed. And they didn't have you can't get these packs with points. I don't like it at all. I don't like the fact that it's limiting people to pay to get things that they want with a little bit of extra influence to get free rec packs. That's pulling more of a need and want for people to get, you know, that, oh, well, why don't you pay so you can get more out of it? I don't like that at all. Me personally, I don't like microtransactions as it is. I mean, there's some stuff that Destiny that happened early this week that I didn't like, and the fact that they brought this up too. It's like they are kind of leaning away from the system that we got. And if this is it's just a small step, and this is just me personally, so don't anyone that's listening, don't take it to heart or whatever. But if this is the way they're going with it, other changes will be made that will kind of do it. And the thing that I will not stand for is if there's like limited stuff to only you can buy. So if there's like a specialty item that isn't able to obtain by requisition points, I'll flip. Like I don't like that idea at all. And I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen. I'm not saying that at all. But the fact that you can buy a bundle and get free rec packs is kind of getting in that area. Very little, very minuscule, but it's kind of gleaning that way. But that's just my personal opinion on it. I this week spent $15 on rec points, so it was cool to see the RNG kind of play up and see what I get. I like that. But once you start limiting people to what they can and cannot do with this system, I'm not going to stand behind it.
Yeah, the only real issue I have with buying the rec pack bundles like that is that they're not available for purchase with rec points. You basically 10,000 rec points is worth $5.99 or whatever a gold pack's worth. If they implement a system to where you can save up your rec point and buy the multi packs, that's fine. so that, you know, you can have access to the bonus packs, and not only the people that shell out hard cash get those bonuses. Yes, they are just bonus gold packs. And yes, you can save up your rec points and buy those gold packs. I understand that. You know, there's nothing really special about the packages other than they've been packaged in bulk quantity. And they give you a pricing break the more of them you buy. That's just the way things work. You know, in business, the more of an item you buy, the better price per item you get. But in this environment, I think they need to give the option, if somebody wants to grind out 100,000 rec points and buy the $100 pack, that they can do that. It's going back to the how it would affect the balance. It does affect the balance, and it is, to a point, pay to win. And the reason I say that is, as I alluded to before we started the podcast, if you get, yes, the player does have to have the skill to get to the rec level. That's given. But once they get to the rec level and they bring in that Oni Scorpion, it is really easy for them to get back to that rec level to get another Oni Scorpion.
And a discussion I had with someone today was that, and they were kind of defending it in a sense. They were like, well, you need people that have skill that don't have the rec packs that go against people that don't have the skill that they do with them will counterbalance that. I said, okay, right. What happens if you get a team that's extremely skilled with the powered rec packs and against a team that has no chance? Like, that's definitely a pay-to-win situation, and I don't like that at all. And that's something that I was always very worried about with Warzone. Especially after what I seen with that saw, like, I was trying my hardest to sit there and do so, and I was getting destroyed, and this guy knew what he was doing. And the fact that I didn't have that and I wasn't able to get it because I was limited because I didn't have enough rec points, or I didn't have enough of it because they bought a crap load of those rec packs and they got more of it like that, to me is, it's not balanced. To me, it's not balanced at all. And that was something that people will have controversy over. People will always say yes or no, or will agree or disagree on the whole subject. It's bound to happen. But my viewpoint of it, I don't like the system being in Halo. I really don't. It opens up new opportunities for a lot of different things. I will give it that. I will give the fact that we raised a bunch of money for HCS and we're getting free content out of it. That's the part that I'm fine with. It's just, I don't like the direction that's went with it. We're seeing multiple different things. You have HCS Go and all these different things that have this microtransaction system. And I didn't care for it. I really don't. I mean, I feel that if you're going to sit there and get something to that level, you should earn it rather than just pay $2 or $3 on a chance and then get it.
Well, I mean, the only reason I say that it is a pay-to-win type scenario is the fact that if you buy the packs, I mean, your budget determines how much you can buy. But you can unlock stuff, and I mean, you can unlock more weapons in a shorter period of time. Yeah, doing it the rec point way, you will eventually get there. It'll take you a little longer. You're going to have to invest a lot more time in the game. But the quick fix, gold pack, $100 bundle, $50 bundle, you know, the different bundles, it gives some people, I don't want to say an advantage, but it kind of is, it kind of isn't, in war games. I'm not saying that it's balanced. War games, if anybody Warzone. Ever thinks War Games is going to be balanced, throwback to the old times there. Warzone is going to be balanced. You're fooling yourself. It will never be balanced. There are too many variables. Yeah, all they can do is hope that the system in some way corrects itself over time, because you have weapons in there that. You have weapons that you can pull that are extremely overpowered.
Nah, and
it's just But yeah, you know, I do agree with you. It's, but the way to fix that in my mind is, okay, these multi-packs that give you bonus packs for spending so much money, if you spend an equivalent in rec points, you should be able to buy the pack without turning over cash.
Yeah. And that's a decision choice that I would really like to talk to whoever who's ahead of the rec system, because that's pissed a lot of people off today. And rightfully so. I mean, if they're going to be limited to what they can and cannot do because A, they don't have enough money, or they don't have the luxury of spending money on, you know, a bundle of rec packs, and they want, instead of constantly going in there and spending, you know, 5,000 rec points at a time, go in there and be able to sit there and get a bunch for one deal. It's annoying. It's something that I really think they need to re-look at and address, because after what I seen on Twitter today, there is what people were saying wasn't exactly my idea of being a great solution. And people will go, and that the something that I seen was, this is just a solution for people that want to buy in bulk. Great, that's fine. You can buy it in bulk, but make it available to both parties, both sides.
Yeah, just don't lock out one side over the, you know, over collecting money. And Eric Abu is saying needle carbine, needle carbine, needle carbine.
Oh, yeah, for the January update.
For the January update. But like I said, when you're doing these packs, I know it seems to be a small thing, but don't lock one side of the community or, I guess community out of a certain thing. You know, like what they did with the HCX pack, or HCS pack, you know, where you could spend the $10 on it, or you could put 80,000 credits into it or rec points in it. Your choice. You know, me, I've bought a few rec packs. I bought a few gold packs, but the bulk of my stuff I get in a week's journey. Like right now, I'm sitting at 27 packs with the new win one war zone, win one arena map a day. You know, that's a silver pack. That's not something to be, you know, scoffed at. It's not like they're giving you the special promotional bronze pack that gives you nothing. You know, a silver pack's a decent pack. But like I said, right now I'm sitting like 26 or 27 packs. And I will generally, in a week's time, and I don't play as much as I really want to, but I'll put anywhere from a half hour to a couple hours a night into Halo. And usually by from Friday to Friday, I'm sitting at about 50,000 rec points. And I'll use that to buy golds or silvers or bronze. Just, I hope that 343 in the future does not leave people out that just do it by rec points, because not everybody can shell out the money for the gold packs. I mean, I understand the business sense behind it, and that's fine, but you need to be able to, you need to not lock one side of your community out of that.
Especially when it's like free rec packs for money.
Yeah.
I mean, you're pulling like that. That was something I was saying before. You're pulling more people to interest to spend money on it rather than, and that's the point, but you're leaning more people to sit there and buy more stuff for free stuff, when in reality, people don't really want to. Like, that's, I don't know. To me, that's not right. It really isn't.
Yeah, like, I can understand. I mean, we're all pretty much saying the same thing. You have a problem with the rec system just because it's a pay-for system. I'm not the biggest fan of it. I understand why they do it. And in light of what we're getting, it's okay. It's limited to one game mode. They just need to make sure that when they're doing these rec packs, any rec pack they do, they need to make it available to both sides of the fence here. The people that want to grind away in the game and earn the rec points to buy the packs, and then the people that are willing just to shell out the cash for the packs. Although, you know, the cash for the packs thing, I can kind of understand it, because there are some banks out there that if you get a whole lot of small charges, they'll lock you out of your account because they think your credit card got stolen.
Yeah, and that's happened to several people I know.
You know, so, you know, having the bulk packs does help that as well, but the fact that you can get, you're getting free rec out of it, spending the money, it's an imbalance in the system.
And granted, it's kind of minute compared to the system as it currently stands, because it's still the paying option versus the grinding option, which hasn't really changed mm-hmm. much.
And that's personal choice. Yeah.
It still does affect Warzone in a way that is kind of play to win in a way, not really quite that bad, but it's, as someone responded to a tweet of mine, it's pay to tip the scales.
Yeah.
It's not pay to win, but
I mean, it's not,
you're still getting a slight advantage with better recs if you're able to purchase like 200 rec packs or something and get a handful of certs. Yeah,
if you're able to do that $100 rec pack every week or twice a week or three times a week, then you have a distinct advantage on everybody else, because you will be able to unlock more items and a quantity of items than other people that do not spend that kind of money on rec, or people that do it through rec points. And it does create an imbalance. I mean, you still have to initiate the beginning of it, but it can tip if you get enough people on one team that have the availability of these higher end items. It can tip the game to their advantage. There is a way to fight it, is you rush and you try to take over the bases before they can build the rec. And that is team skill and how well a team works together. I've been on both sides of that. Yesterday, I played a team that just flat steamrollers. I made it to rec 2. The game was about 7 minutes long because they blew through their base, the central base, our armory, I should say, and then they were at our core. And, you know, no amount of rec cards was going to help us because we had no rec energy to call any of them in because they were just flat dominating us. They were taking down the AI bosses. They rolled through all of the, you know, the separate bases. They were a good organized team, and nobody on those teams really called in anything really heavy other than, you know, a fuel rod cannon and I think a couple of snipers. You know, it's not like they're rolling in with a, you know, an Oni Warthog or Ultra Ghosts or Ultra Banshees or Phaetons or anything. They just were a really good organized team.
And that happens. I mean, that's,
you know, it happens.
Unishek does that every night, apparently. But so I will kind of wrap this up as to say, this is something that's minor compared to the overall Halo 5 game. I mean, Warzone is a small part of it. It's something new in Halo 5. It's doing pretty well. And thankfully, the whole kind of pay to win side of the thing is restricted to Warzone, but you still have the unlock system for the armor and the skins, the emblems and all that stuff thrown up to random number generator, which people aren't very happy with. But overall, it's in the grand scheme of Halo 5, it's a pretty minor issue, but it does have some people concerned with the direction that 343 is taking with microtransactions. Now, I would say as long as it sticks to Warzone, I mean, it doesn't affect kind of the core of Halo. You have your traditional arena multiplayer, which everyone loves, and you don't have to play Warzone if you don't want to. You could stick with the traditional multiplayer, and it doesn't affect campaign at all. So you have your core functions of Halo 5 still intact, not really affected by this system. So that's all fine. It's just, I mean, I know we're talking about it, and it kind of blows it out of proportion a little bit that we're focusing on it so much and that there's been so much focus on it within the community. But it's just, it's been a concern for people. I think that's kind of the safest way to put it. It's a concern. It's not a giant issue. It's not a big issue. To look at it reasonably in the whole purview of Halo 5 Guardians as a whole. But it is something that people are kind of aware of, and they are looking closely at just to see what 343 does with the system as it evolves, as Halo 5 gets more updates, and where it could go with Halo 6. So
we're watching you, 3R4, 3E. It's like, yeah, like I said, as long as they keep the wreck available to both sides of the fence, I think we'll minimize the amount of conflict there will be about the wreck system. And that's the biggest issue that I've seen all day on Twitter, is the fact that it's only available to people that want to pay actual cash. You know, that's the biggest argument. So if 343 can keep it to where it's available to both sides of the fence, I think, you know, it will minimize the amount of people that really get outraged about the rec system. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of it, but it works. I'm starting to kind of have fun in Warzone. It's a lot more fun when I get a bunch of people together to play, but you know, even when, you know, I'm just going for that, you know, that daily win to get the rec pack, it doesn't quite seem so one-sided as much. I mean, I get in there, I have some fun. I get challenged as far as my skill. So, you know, I'm having fun.
And that's really what matters, as long as you're having fun. So that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Hopefully we'll revisit this conversation when we can have people from both sides of the party on, not just one side, and kind of have a good discussion on rec as a whole. Because I think this is something where we need to hear both sides of the conversation just for a podcast sake. And I don't want to just keep on rattling on our purview of it, because there are multiple views within the community on how the rec system interacts with Halo 5, and some in a good way, some in a not so favorable way. So I would like to have that balanced discussion at some point. Not like Fox News style, but actually a balanced discussion.
Oh, gee, come on. Where's the fun in that?
Hopefully after the break, we can do something like that. After we can get a Forge podcast. There's lots of different topic podcasts that we want to do come after our break. But this is going to be the last podcast that we have for a few weeks. We're going to be taking off Christmas week, taking off New Year's week. I just want to say thank you to everyone who has tuned into us at some point during the year. Thank you to everyone who came out during our 10-year anniversary party at RTX. Thank you to anyone who helped contribute to us in any way. Thanks to all the staff that we brought on board this year. Looking forward to bringing more on next year as we start to build and grow. And it's been a good year. It's been a good year for Halo. It's been a good year for Podtacular. And I hope to continue to see us grow, continue to see Halo start to kind of rekindle the fire in some people. And it seems like with the Cartographer's Gift, we have a little bit of that happening, which is good. Lots of Forgers coming back, Machinimators getting some interest. A lot of the casual community is starting to re-engage in Halo, which is an amazing thing. Hopefully we'll get some of the other things that the community is requesting, like the game modes and some other updates to Halo that people are really asking for in the coming months. It'll be nice to have all that. And that's a wrap for 2015. It has been an amazing year. And I did want to kind of have this as a recap podcast, but the whole kind of wreck debacle that happened today, that wasn't going to happen. So we might do that after the break. So everyone listening,
it's been a great year.
It has indeed.
It's been an awesome year.
Listening to us either download or on Twitch, thanks again. Bio, thanks again, even with all the internet issues that we've had throughout the year.
Oh, yeah.
For continuing to be here. GT, great work on the game nights. Continue to rock those. Haas, if he was here, doing a pretty good job with keeping up on Twitter and all that fun stuff. And if you guys are interested in being a part of the team, we are still looking for people to help us out. So you can head on over to podtacular.com/apply, and we will consider your portfolio. And you don't have to have any talent in anything specifically. It would be nice, because that way we would know where you could help out the most. There are certain areas that we would like to fill out and really help build Podtacular. So we are kind of targeting in some of those areas, but if you guys have something that you're kind of interested in, or you know you have a knack for, that'd be able to help out with Podtacular, then I would definitely encourage you to apply, and we'll at least take a look at what you have to offer, and we'll consider you for being a part of show and the community support behind it. Make sure you check out the podcast network. It's a network of gaming-specific podcasts like Guardian Radio, Critcast, and The Learning Cliff, with a couple other podcasts mixed in there as well. A great group of folks to go listen to. Great, well-produced podcasts to listen to in the gaming sphere. So definitely check them out. Make sure you check out our Spartan Company if you haven't already. We still have spots available. I think we're up to maybe 67 or 68 people. I don't know if that's maybe toppled over 70 yet, but we still have spots if you want to be a part of our company. We're going to be doing Tactical Tuesdays, focusing on arena gameplay, and Warzone Wednesdays, which is going to be focusing on Warzone. And we're going to be looking to put together a team that's going to be representative of Podtacular when it comes to doing stuff like clan matches. And if there's ever an implementation of maybe Spartan Company matches within matchmaking, similar to the Halo 2 clan system, then it'd be kind of the representative team for that, going into that kind of stuff. So be on the lookout for that after the break as well, and we'll see you guys in 2016. Any last words from either of you?
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. It has been a blast. I've enjoyed meeting everybody that I've met this year. You all are great. Keep showing up to the game nights, and you know, if you want, hit me up on Twitter, say hi, tell me I'm an idiot, tell me you don't enjoy the show, whatever. I don't care. But I love interacting with all of you. So have yourself a wonderful 2016.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. Yeah, have a great Christmas, guys. If you don't celebrate Christmas, have a great holiday season, whatever it is that you guys celebrate. And also have a great New Year's. Enjoy family, enjoy friends. And this year's just been absolutely nuts. The amount of people I met this year through all the cons that I've been to, just through Podtacular in itself, just the people I've met online, it's just been an absolutely incredible year, and hopefully 2016 will blow that out of the water. So happy holidays to everyone out there, and we'll see you in 2016.
Alright everybody, that'll be it for us. Sending off 2015. Keep on fragging things.